Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'll be talking to Harold Evans about saltwater pools. I'll get his opinion on saltwater systems. We're also going to talk about those white flakes that are blown back into a saltwater pool, and Harold's going to give his opinion of what those flakes are, and go over some ways that you can help cure that problem with the saltwater generator. I think it's always good to get a different view on saltwater generators, and my stand on saltwater pools, if you listen to my podcasts or my YouTube videos, you know that I'm a big fan of them for a lot of reasons, and it's always good to hear the other side of it. So I let Harold, of course, give his opinion on saltwater generators in this podcast, and that way you can hear it from both sides of the discussion. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. With the trichlor shortage that's coming, or is here already, I should say, it's not coming anymore. We know it's here. A lot of people are talking about saltwater systems. And one of the newscasters in Arizona was saying, you know, as the end of the newscast, he said, so for those of you who can't find trichlor, switching to a saltwater system is the best option, without even going into any details of, you know, what that is. And I know you and me know that it may not be the best solution. So in your opinion, switching out of trichlor and going to salt, what are some of the things that you would say to somebody who says that that's a viable solution?
Well, it's personal. For me personally, I'm not a huge proponent of salt, not because it doesn't work, because it does. Most of the people for many years thought their salt system was not a chlorine system, which we all laugh about, professionals do. And by the way, the same thing could happen in a bleach pool, because it has its main constituent is salt. So you have to be mindful of salt levels in sanitized water, because a great number of the solutions that center on recreational water treatment have salt as a basis for their chemistry. So you could potentially have the levels of salt that you find in the salt pool in a bleach pool if you're not mindful of it. I think it's criminal that we're not looking at dilution as part of the solution, as part of the Mod Aquatic Health Code. Dilution is a solution. Because accumulations are a problem. And you know that if you have a cartridge filter system, because you don't backwash and you get no dilution, and you skyrocket factors that you're trying to control in a very quick way because you don't have any, evaporation just concentrates certain chemistries. It doesn't eliminate them. When you put new water in, they're still there. A salt system, in my opinion, has a couple of problems. One is that if you're going to use salt, then you have to make sure that you're waterproofing every surface, porous surface, semi-porous surface around it, coping, decks, waterfalls. So salt, what I tell people is, you know, people say, well, you know, the ocean's 36,000 parts salt. This is just 3,000. Well, let's go a little deeper. So when salt water evaporates, first of all, the vector or the traveling mechanism for the salt is the fact that the salt is diluted or dissolved in the water. The water penetrates things, and then the water evaporates, and then what's left behind is any constituent in the water. So if your salty water of 3,000 parts or thereabouts penetrates a concrete surface or a rock, when it evaporates, the crystals stay behind, and they expand. We all know crystals form because salt is a crystal ultimately. So as those surfaces, you know, drag out from swimmers, waterfalls, whatever, people walking on the decks that are wet, those things all penetrate. The water column penetrates the surface. And once it penetrates that surface, it dehydrates and then it crystallizes and then it ultimately expands and it causes peripheral damage. So how porous the surface is of concrete or rock will have a, and there's some rocks, by the way, it can't penetrate. But for the most part, the sandstones of the pool industry and the concrete surfaces that we have are penetrable. And as a result, the salt systems provide a mechanism for that water to accumulate. And they're a long way from being maintenance free. Now, from a saturation index standpoint, salt water can actually be easier to manage. And the calculator will tell you that. When you change the TDS salt element, you can see how much the chemistry changes. But maintenance free, no. If you like to tinker, it gives you plenty of things to tinker with every single day if you want to. I think as a sort of poison pill solution, it has some function in the marketplace. I'm not here to trash it, but it's not maintenance free. You know, if you're going to have a salt system, you better seal your surfaces so that it doesn't penetrate. And then the next question is, as that sealant wears off, how do you get back to a level that you were in the first place once salt water's come over for all those years? So it's a little bit complicated. For me, it's not a good solution, but it is for some. And I don't want to make all the salt chlorine fans want to throw rocks at me. But like everything, it has its unintended consequence. And by the way, you can do the same thing with liquid chlorine. I've been in pools in Florida that have 7,000 parts salt in them that were nothing but bleach pools. So back to a sensible management strategy. You know, you need to get some water turned over in the pool, and the Model Aquatic Health Code calls you to do that, whether the state of California agrees with that or not. All the health standards I know, which are run by the CDC, for goodness sakes, say you got to exchange water. So the idea that water can stay in a pool for 10 or 15 years untouched is crazy. And then, of course, you use trichlor, and then that accelerates that conversation of cyanuric accumulation. And you get too happy with calhypo, and you got that calcium accumulation. But I don't think 400 to 500 calcium is problematic. And I think sometimes that's a misnomer of the industry. I think higher levels of calcium properly managed in the LSI are fantastic. And it actually makes your water easier to manage.
Yeah, and us in the industry here in California, we're kind of like secret pool drainers. We'll turn the hose spigot on at the equipment while it's running while we're there. Just forget to remember to turn it off. So we'll do some secret draining here and there because for some reason, California got to the point where people think draining the pool, you're no longer a tree hugger, you know? So it becomes a difficult thing for us to manage here. And when you say we need to drain your pool, you know, Mrs. Jones, they look at you like you're telling them they commit a crime. So It's a tough battle.
Well, you're in a drought, I think, now. I think parts of California.
We're in a drought again. We've never probably been out of it. California is a desert. I mean, It's just a fact. So one of the things about salt pools, I'll mention this too, is that these white flakes, you know, this is a big debate in the industry. What's causing these white flakes? Why do some salt pools don't have these white flakes? Why do others have them? Why are they, some of them hard? Why are some of them soft, like, you know, dead skin? As, you know, a chemistry expert in the field, and I know you have an article on your site on this. I pulled it up the other day to look at it. In your opinion, those white flakes that the saltwater generator produces, which is a real hassle for the consumer. They don't like them. The pool tech is always using their vacuum system to pick them up. It's a big mess, and they're getting complaints about it from their customers. What are the, you know, how can you prevent that white flaking from going into a pool? What is it in the first place?
Well, it's a degree question. So people always sell, well, you know, mount your LSI, they'll be fine. Well, you have to stop and think about it. The site production of salt and its production of HOCl at the cell is producing caustic soda, basically. So the pH at the cell site is incredibly high. So if you put the pH of 12 or 13 at the cell site and put it in your LSI calculator, it quickly tells you why they're scale forming. It's a certainty that it will form there because the factors are there to form scale. That reaction that you see in the pool is actually the salt cell protecting itself from accumulation by reversing the polarity on the cell and causing the flake to slough off and go into the water. The only reason we know more about it today than we did, say, 10 years ago is because everybody loves dark surfaces. So now that it's like a white flake in a dark background. It's like in your face. It's kind of like dandruff on your sweater. Yet you've always had it. It's just that it used to be white. You probably didn't see it then. So there are some things that you can do to mitigate that to some extent. Number one, I think we're overproducing chlorine with our cells. We throw them at 100% output and call it good. So the question is, can you live with a lower output and still have healthy water? That's the first thing. Two is recognize that every time you're producing chlorine, you're producing a high pH and you're forcing there to be an LSI reaction that's different on your cell than it is in your pool. So you fixing your pool water LSI has absolutely nothing to do with what's going to happen on that cell site. You can't manage the LSI in the water and fix that, period. SC1000, one of our chemicals that we sell, which is a chelant, assists in keeping calcium solubilized, so liquid, right? So the reaction that happens on that cell is physics reaction. That, by the way, would happen at 100 or 500 parts. It wouldn't matter because the saturation index drove what calcium you had into the form it is, right? So you can have scale at 100 parts or 500 parts. So how much time you output on the cell can influence how much is going to form. Two is you can use SC1000 to try to keep your calcium solubilized because, as I indicate, if proper LSI management is going on, that calcium is your friend and you want it in there to protect your surface and your equipment. And by the way, we teach for both two of the major manufacturers in their schools back before COVID, and hopefully we will once it resumes. LSI is an important consideration for warranty on surfaces and equipment, and we're promoted as teachers in that space by both two of the majors in the industry. Time of cell operation, output of cell operation, the use of a chelant to try to keep it solubilized are basically all you can really do to try to reduce. The other thing that you can do is using an enzyme to digest the carbon waste in the water. Here again, it allows you to lower that chlorine output. So it's all designed to center around, sorry for the phone. It's all designed to center around minimizing the number of things that can allow that to happen in the first place. But salt cells are protecting themselves. When the flakes are happening, it's proof that the cell is protecting itself from an accumulation. So remember, on those ruthenium and titanium cell fins, when you have scale form on them, it interferes in the transfer of electricity between the cells. And so the more scale on that cell, the more you have to put more energy into the cell, therefore wear and tearing on the cell quicker. So it's a protection to reverse polarity and to get that scale up there. So there's a nice clear path of electricity, microelectricity going to each cell. So scale has a mitigating scale has a function of protecting that cell also. So it's part of that, it's part of the outcome. But those factors can reduce the formation, but not eliminate.
And what about the ones that are more like a mush kind of, it's not really scale, but it's like a mushy, I mean, you've probably seen it in Texas. We get it here a lot in California, where it's almost like you could scoop up a whole bag of it and you would touch it and it feels slimy. Is that still calcium considered?
Well, yeah. So generally speaking, it's the phenomena of what we're talking about with oxidant demand. Mm-hmm. If it's slimy, then it's probably combining with some organic constituent. I always tell people if it's slimy, it's probably organic in nature. So that would go back to the solution of using enzymes in conjunction with whatever solution you have. And that's getting that oxidant demand, that non-living organic out of the water that's combining. So I call it the peanut butter and jelly effect. So you get essentially a formation of scale potentially, and then you get an organic coating on it, and then you get more scale on top of that. So we call it the peanut butter and jelly effect of basically organics protecting the calcium from being impacted by, for example, a chelant like our SC1000. So we have to use enzymes when we're doing that in conjunction with the chelant so that we can get down to that calcium molecule that can be separated. So what a chelant does is it interferes in the ability of calcium molecules to bind with each other. So a sequestrant tends to pull things out. A chelant doesn't change the constituent of the presence of a metal. So it's going to allow that metal to reside in the water without sticking to another metal molecule. So when they don't stick together, that's what scale is. They basically electrically bond and form formations. So we're interfering in that process when we chelate.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good analysis of, you know, that problem in the, with the salt generator. And if you were to choose between saltwater, let's say you're selling something to your customer that wants something beyond just the liquid chlorine feeder, you know, saltwater generator versus UV versus ozone, what would you sell to the customer?
Well, they're kind of different conversations.
You can probably save that for another podcast.
It is an entire podcast.
I'll probably have you back on to do that then, because
I'm a monster fan. Anything in the water that's less intrusive and benefits in the oxygen demand in this scenario. So chlorine needs help. Chlorine is still the best solution. It's pound for pound, ounce for ounce, the most amazing algicide that was ever invented and that protected more people's lives than any single thing I can think of. But anything in overuse is overuse. That's a deep dive question that I don't have a quick answer for, but I have a definite opinion about it.
We'll tuck that one away for later. And if you're interested in the other podcasts I record with Harold Evans, you can find those on my website by going to swimmingpoollearning.com. On the banner, you're going to see a podcast icon. Click on that. That'll take you to a drop-down menu of the previous episodes that I've recorded. And if you're in the industry and you want to enhance your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. A lot of great benefits there. And I think you're going to really enjoy the group chat that comes with the membership and also the discount on your general liability insurance. Again, you can learn more at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Yeah! Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at GetSkimmer/poolguy. Again, that's GetSkimmer/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.